What would you guys say are some famous psalms for you? What's the, when you think of a psalm, what comes to mind? Which one? 151? Okay. Oh, 21, yeah. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, right? Woo, that's a good one. Almost as good as the one we're going to do today. Psalm 23, Psalm 1, there's a lot of good psalms, aren't there, that really encourage our hearts. Some that remind us of our own sin, but mostly they cause us to reflect on the great glory of God. Today, Psalm 103, probably more than any other psalm to me, expresses the love that God has for us. And so what I would like for you to do, you see it on the screen. We've been working through this idea of Jesus came and Jesus is coming. And if you remember, we started on our candles down there, and the one that's getting burnt down pretty good. We started with hope the very first Sunday, that light, that there something could happen, something can change, something tremendous is going to take place. And it was proclaimed by Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel," right? 700 years before it even takes place in Christ, in the fulfillment of Christ. And Jesus comes. Hope breaks through then. Well, I'm going to tell you today, if you get worried sometimes and things get dark, keep the hope light on, because the Lord is coming again, and he's bringing hope when he comes. Remember the second week we talked about peace, and I think peace is kind of one of the harder ones, because we talk about peace and we think about basically the absence of war. We think about the idea of everybody just getting along. But when Jesus came, he said he wouldn't bring peace that way. He was going to bring a sword. And that was a really difficult thing to kind of to hold on to. What does this mean? He's supposed to be the King of Kings and the lover of all people. What would this mean? And we realized that what Jesus brought with peace was reconciliation with God. And while we definitely believe it is offered to everyone, it's only given to those who would accept the gift of Christ. Peace came. And you guys, if you don't have peace today, you can have it right now. And the people that you love and know, and the people that you'll hopefully go have dinner with next weekend and next week, those people, as you talk with them and listen to them, they can have peace now if they would turn their heart over to Christ. So pray for opportunities to love on them, to serve them, to speak that truth that Jesus came to bring peace and that he is coming again. And when he comes again, he doesn't come as a little bitty baby, but he will come as the King and the Lord of all the earth, and there will be peace. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord of all. Infant lowly, infant holy, right? Christ the babe is Lord of all. Isn't that just, can't even fathom it, right? Then we talked about last week about joy, right? We had our pink candle that was a little bit different because the Lent season and initially even Advent was a very solemn time, but some people wanted to bring some celebration to that time. So they wanted something a little different for people to have a time where they could feast and rejoice. And we looked last week, one of my favorite examples of joy, Paul and Silas. They're in the prison cell, and the worst day ever could be for them. It turns to be the best day ever because they give praise to the Lord in the midst of their suffering. Did you even hear what Esther read today from Romans chapter 5, right? That even in our suffering, we find an opportunity to glorify God and to grow in our own hearts. And so the joy that the Lord brought came when he came as a little baby. And we can be happy today and celebrate today because our sins are forgiven and because we have heaven to look forward to, but also because he is, again, going to bring joy again. So the last one today, before we look at Christ, next Sunday as we think about Christmas Eve and about his coming on Sunday, we're going to look at love. And there's so many different passages on love, and I was very tempted even today just to do John 3:16 and try to be very simple. I felt like the Lord wanted us to go to the Old Testament and see that even back then, the promise of love was being set forth. So if you would, let's look together in Psalm 103 today and look at verse 1. And the psalmist, and he writes and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," verse 2, "and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Today, we want to look at God's word and be encouraged of how much that you are loved. Do you really think, as we talked about this weekend, I think that's what most people really want. Do you think? They want to be loved. Think with me just for a moment about the problem people in your family. Anybody have any problem people in your family? Man, there's a lot of expressions there. I had no idea. Right? You know what I'm talking about. The people that seem to really act out, or the people that really are off the wall, or whatever. What are they, when you really boil it down, look at their heart and their life, and I bet you that somewhere down deep, what they are really looking for is love. They want to be known, and they want to be loved. What do you think? You kind of test that out even this day and this week. Think about that. And what I want to tell you today is that God knows you and that God loves you. So there's both of those needs that you have are met in the Lord. Let's just celebrate as we look through the scripture here today. Verse 1, again, the psalmist says, NIV, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Anybody in here besides the preacher ever talk to themselves?
Come on now. Anybody else besides me? Vicky's on her head. I'm going to call her out, put her under the bus. Anybody else? Just me and Vicky, that's it? Or the out loud process was probably in the group, right? Well, when I played basketball, and I played in sixth grade, and then I didn't play again until college. Now, that's pretty good, right? From sixth grade to college. Of course, the college that I went to was about 250 people, but don't tell anybody else that, okay? So I'm playing college basketball, and I had a really bad habit when I first started playing, and especially in practice. So I'd go down, and I would, if I shot a shot and I missed it, I'd be like, oh, Travis, you're so stupid. Why'd you do that? And if I missed a pass, oh, I'm so, why'd you do that? And the guys would look at me like, dude, what is your problem? Because I would have to tell myself, I thought I was correcting myself and making myself better by saying those things out loud. All right? I still have that to some degree, but usually not as vocal. I've learned to kind of minimize it a little bit. You ever have to tell yourself, man, just do this? I'm sure Rick, when he's running, he has sometimes like, okay, self, let's keep going. All of us in here at different times, we have those days where we have to tell ourselves, self, do this. What does the psalmist do here? Self, praise the Lord. Self, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. Because we can get there, can't we? The busy day. Anybody have any bills this last week? Please don't raise your hand. Isn't that one of the worst things ever, doing bills? Like, my wife and I have switched it a couple times. Back to me, it's like, oh, great. It's like everything would be going great. And then you like start doing bills, and you're just like, oh. Right? And maybe for you, it may even be this season of the year. Maybe there's something that happens that you're mindful of that you really miss, and you get really sad and down. And what the psalmist says to you today, praise the Lord, my soul. Don't forget the Lord's benefits. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. Anybody here can give witness to that today? Has the Lord been good to you? Amen, right? And so that's what the psalmist, that's what he's doing. When you recognize the true character of the God you serve, I think we will do the same. And just in a minute, we're going to look at these benefits of the Lord. And again, I just encourage you today, remind yourself today of who the Lord is. Even Todd in Sunday school started us off that way today. When we come to worship, it's good to think about what God has done for me and all the things that come to me, but what we really need to see when we worship is Jesus high and lifted up. And I'm really thankful Diane gets a lot of good scriptures for us right in the middle of our singing to help us focus on the risen Christ. When we come to worship, we need to see and know Jesus. And today, maybe that's in your heart. If you've been down and a little bit depressed, I'd ask you, how's your devotion time? How's your time with the Lord? How's your worship time throughout the week? Maybe that's where you can focus on Jesus and you'll find that joy and that peace and that hope. And all those things we've been talking about in Advent will visit you again. Today, remind yourself of who the Lord is. And so the psalmist does that. Look in verse 3. Incredible passage. Verse 3, he says, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion,
who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Are you realizing today that you are loved? The psalmist writes the very first thing he says, he forgives all our sins and heals our diseases. Anybody in here a sinner? Start up at the top right here, right? I want to tell you, Wednesday nights have been really good for me. We've been doing Joshua, and I think it's kind of a good balance with today. Today we're talking all about love and God's forgiveness and his compassion, but on Wednesday nights we've been seeing the wrath of God and how he detests sin and how he hates sinfulness and wickedness. And they both go together. It's the same God, right? And today, as you think about the ways that you have failed the Lord, and yet the psalmist writes, but wait a minute, he forgives and he heals. Today we can find comfort and hope and encouragement in how much God loves us, and he demonstrates that love with forgiveness. God's forgiveness is a demonstration of love, and we'll see that scripture again that Esther read to us this morning. God heals, and if true healing takes place, God will be at the source of it. Notice what he says in verse 4. He redeems us from the pit. Anybody ever been in the pit? Yeah? Right? And I think very literally, in the King James you saw today, was the word destruction. And to me, there's two kinds of destruction. There is physical destruction when everything ends. And there is hope past that for us. And there's eternal destruction. And we call that hell. And yet what the psalmist says all the way back here, way, way before Jesus is even born, he says that God redeems your life from destruction. He redeems your life from the pit. There's no doubt that somebody in here this week, probably this next weekend or right after that, you're going to run into someone that you love who was in the pits. As you get older, you kind of realize that thing. When you're a younger person, everything Christmas is beautiful and wonderful, and we're all happy. And as you start getting older, you see people that you love, that this season brings back memories of people that they have lost and the days that they have missed. And it becomes a really hard time for them. And it can be a place where they get pushed in the pits. I don't know if you guys have ever met people like this, but I've known a few people in my life that almost every winter, they kind of cycle into a depression. And then they'll come back out of the depression in the spring. It's almost like they hibernate into depression. And here I want you to see today what the Word of God says is that God brings us, he saves our lives out of the pit. And the way to help people out of that pit is to help them, again, focus on the Almighty God and how much he cares for them. Whether it's Joseph or his brothers or the prodigal son, God has a way of rescuing children when they seek him for their notice what he says right after that. He says, and he crowns with love and compassion. God is pouring out love on you. And I would say it this way, and I hope you understand what I mean. God is for you. Do you guys get that? I'm afraid that a lot of people especially who had a very rough father who was maybe abusive, they wouldn't really get this picture of God being for them. Some people think that God is like watching to see them mess up, then he's going to strike them down or he's going to do something bad to their life. That's how they've been taught and raised. They just feel like that God is against them. He's waiting for them to mess up. He's going to put the hammer on them. But what the scripture here says is the God that we know wants to crown you with love and compassion. He forgives, he heals, he redeems your life from the pit. That's the God that we have to make sure our coworkers and our family and our neighbors, that they come to know. Those people on your white cards you've been praying for, pray that they will know that God, because many of them are seeing a different God. All the people that we love overseas that are in many of those Islamic countries, they see a God who is a God of wrath and a God of judgment and a God of, you better walk by these lines or I'm going to wipe you out. And what they need to see is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of our God, and his compassion and his mercy, and how that God is for them. You understand what I'm saying now? God is for you. God is for them. We've got to carry that idea to the people that we love. Look at verse 5. He satisfies your desires with good things. Isn't that neat? God wants to give you good things, right? As you chase after the Lord, he will fulfill the desires of your heart. He is working these things out for you, even to renew your strength. Look in verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. God is making himself known. God is on behalf of people who are hurting. Do you see that again? The psalmist just lays these things out over and over. God is for the hurting. God is for, in our cases, the homeless. God is for the hungry. God is for the orphan. God is for the widow. God is for the single mom. In our day, would probably be a great picture of who God is for. Now, let me ask you, if God is for them, does that mean we should be for them too? Yeah. Let me throw some things at you. God is for the guy in the jail cell. No way, preacher. That guy messed up. God is for him. God wants to see his life redeemed, his heart changed, and he wants to use him for his glory. That's the God that we serve. That is the God that came with love and the God who is coming in love. Look in verse 8. If you don't remember anything else today, just work on memorizing this verse and take it home with you and don't let it go. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in love. How would you like to have a friend like that? Compassionate, gracious, slow to get angry, abounding in love. You have a friend like that. His name is Jesus. He came and died and rose again, and he brings this. Again, folks, and I know you guys know, and I'm preaching to the choir here today, but the people that we're going to intersect with in the next week or next 2 weeks, some of those people don't know this Lord. They don't know this Jesus. They don't know this God. But you do. And you carry that love in your heart, and you let them know that he is compassionate, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, and he abounds in love. Man, love has come, love is coming. That's what Advent is about. Again, a fantastically beautiful verse. Stick it in your heart and your mind even this day and this week. Look in verse 9. The psalmist goes on. He says, he will not accuse, always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It's like I can't even add to that, right? Isn't that just amazing? How much the Lord loves you today. I would say this, and we've studied this in Joshua. The Lord does get angry, right? We've seen some Canaanites, people in Jericho recently. We've seen some people in Ai, people that God said, I'm not going to tolerate your wickedness anymore. Excuse me, and he brings down his wrath on sin. But the reminder here is that the Lord doesn't live in that, and that he moves on. He does not harbor his anger. He is so merciful, and he doesn't give us what we deserve. How high are the heavens above the earth? Anybody here been skydiving? Nobody. You bunch of chickens. I haven't been either. Right? You might not think the heavens are that high above the earth until you actually were to try to jump out of a plane or something, right? How high are the stars from us? That moon gets really big, but even still, it's a long way away, isn't it? Look again what the psalmist says. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. God loves you how much? Do you ever play that game? Like when I was a little kid, my mom would hold my hand, and she would like squeeze it, and she would squeeze it while she was talking. She would say, how much do you love me? Like that. And I would just try to break her hand. Oh, I love you this much. You know, and I could do it when I was a little kid. It didn't bother. But as I got older, they'd just get like, whoa. How much do you love me? You didn't like this, right? Or you didn't like this? What does the psalmist say? He says, I can't stretch my hands that far. You can go from the stars to the earth. And that's how great is the love of God for those that fear him. Can anybody even shout or say amen or something? Is that like great or what? Right? God is for you. That's the message of Advent. He didn't come to slay you and judge you. He's come to reconcile and make things right. He loves you so very much. Your sins. Look in verse 12. Again, chief of sinners standing behind the pulpit here today. What an incredible promise. The psalmist says, go as far east as you can and go far as west as you can. And that's how the Lord has removed your sins. Remember, I think we gave an illustration around Christmas time, maybe last year or even 2 years ago, about the monk who had come in and was like, you know, what about the sins and what about the problems? And then the other person responded back, what sin? God says, what sin? It's been forgiven in Christ, right? As far as the east is from the west is how much the Lord loves you. And then even verse 13, this reminder of God as a right and a true and a just and a loving father. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now here's what I want you to notice. Did you catch that in verse 11, the end of verse 11 and the end of verse 13? Do you see the condition? Like even as you're looking at verse 13 on the screen, how does it end? The Lord has compassion on everyone, right? Is that what it says? Or at the end of verse 11, how great his love is for everyone, right? It's not what it says. What's it say? Those who fear him. Those who fear him. I want you to think about that for a minute this morning. Those who fear him, the Lord shows compassion and great love. But I would also remind you today, and only because I'm trying to be truthful to God's word, is that the opposite is also true. Those who will not fear and reverence the Lord, there will be justice and there will be judgment. And think with me just for a minute this morning. In some ways, that is also an expression of love to those who fear him. Did you catch that?
What you think someone is today is a loving father if they never discipline their son or their daughter. Right? Have you heard that before? Like people, well, I just love him too much to make him behave. Man. I'm glad, and we were talking about this week. It took a lot of loving from my dad to make me behave. Isaiah and I were trying to compare stories. He thought it took more for him, but I don't think it did. But you know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't discipline your kids, there's no love there in the same way here, where the Lord shows his love through his discipline. But he's showing the love for those who fear him. And I don't mean fear him like, I'm afraid of God. I don't want to even have anything to do with God. But the idea that I fear God, in other words, I reverence him. And when God says, this is what's right, I try to hear it and I try to heed it. I try to obey it. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to try to fear the Lord by doing what he says. And the promises here are for those who fear him. We live in a society today, they want everything for everybody, right? Don't even get me started on participation trophies. We can't go down that road, right? We think that everybody's going to go to heaven, that everything's going to all work out. But I want to tell you today, that's not what the scripture says. All right? From the bottom of my soul, people, I love you so much. I would try my very best to never lie to you. And to always hold God's word as supreme. It has never failed me my whole life. This old man talking now. I'm in my mid-40s. God's word has never failed me. And when God's word says that he takes care of those who fear him, that means that those who don't are going to face God's judgment. And that's also a message that we have to carry gently, but accurately and honestly for the people that we love. It is not loving for you to not tell people about the truth of who God is. That's hard, isn't it, right? Lord, help us that we could carry the message in a way that is fitting to him. Look in verse 14. Again, a reminder of the Lord's compassion
on us. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. God knows you, and he knows you're frail. Anybody get reminded of their frailty on a regular basis? It's kind of fun and funny as we go to see old friends now that we get older. It's like, man, you look really old. I'm sure I don't look that way, right? You can see how things are changing and coming and going. The Lord knows our frailty. He knows what's going to happen to us. Again, he knows you inside and out. He formed you. He knows that your life is temporary, but he also knows that eternity is not. And so we are reminded of this verse today that Esther shared with us in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us just like this. While we were yet or still sinners, what did God do? He died for you. Did you hear all the verses that Esther read?
Nobody's going to die for a sinful man. Peradventure, or perhaps, or maybe for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Right? But ain't nobody going to die for the terrorist. Okay? But maybe for someone like Mother Teresa, or someone that you would hold in high esteem as a really good neighbor or friend, you might even find someone to die for them. What the Word of God says that while we were yet in our sins, what did God do? While we were still wicked, while we were in enmity with God, what did God still do? He demonstrated his love and that he gave us his Son to die for us. That's love. You guys today, you are so loved. Even in your sin, God says, I love you. I'm going to give you my Son. There'll be some people that you'll run into that they think they are too bad to find forgiveness. Right? Some of you already run into those people, haven't you? You know what? I have it like at youth camp and through jail ministry and different ministries. You'll run into people and be like, God can't save me. I'm too much of a mess. I've messed up too badly. And this verse right here reminds us that while you were even still in your sin, God said he loved you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. If you're not getting it, you should begin it by now. The Lord is for you. He loves you. He came and brought his love for you. Look down at verse 17. We're almost done this morning. You'll see that the psalmist says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. How far is everlasting to everlasting? Right? Anybody, you can draw your figure eight and then you turn it on its side. And all of you fancy math people, what's that stand for? Infinity, right? Goes on and on and on and on, right? God's love never fails. It never wears out. It never dies out. Guys, I tempted even today in Romans chapter 8, what are you mindful over and over again? Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor darkness, nor angels, nor any other thing can separate you from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. Love has come, and love is coming. Again, I would have you note, it is for those who fear him. Don't go around claiming God's promises when you don't claim God. Is that a fair deal? Right? I wouldn't go around saying that, not saying I hate my dad, he's a jerk, and I don't want to be around him, but I expect him to give me all of his inheritance. Right? That makes no sense. In the same way, there are people who are claiming that they're going to get all of God's blessings, all of God's benefits, but they don't want to have anything to do with God. It doesn't work that way. It never has. And it's not about your ability. It's about your submission. It's about your heart surrendered that allows Jesus to come in and make you what he wants you to be. That is fearing and honoring the Lord. And if you fear and honor the Lord today, all these promises that we went through in Psalm 103, they are for you. God is for you. Let's look in verse 20 and we'll put it together. So the psalmist writes out kind of his own doxology at the end.
He says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Verse 21, praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Verse 22, praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in dominion. And then finally, what's he say? Praise the Lord, my soul. Angels praise him, the heavenly host, the sun, the moon, stars praise him. All his works everywhere praise him. And then finally the psalmist says, oh, my soul. This is where we started, right? Travis, praise the Lord. Tell yourself, praise the Lord. He is so worthy of praise. When you think about all the Lord has ultimately done, we want to praise him. What a wonderful, a mighty, loving, compassionate God we serve. And so today, as we think about Advent, again, I'm going to say this over and over again. We saw hope came, but hope is still coming, right? Amen. We saw that peace came, right? Man, what a way it came, but peace is still coming. We saw that joy came, right? You think of Simon, you think of Anna, and they get to see the little baby, and their hearts are ecstatic because they know that God's love has showed up on the scene. Joy came, but we also know what is yet to come. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is yet to come. And today, and this week, carry with you that love came. Man, did love ever come? And love lived a perfect life, and love laid itself out on a tree, and it bore a crown of thorns and nails in his hands and his feet, ultimately a spear in his side. Love came for you. But here's the thing. Love is coming. Love is alive in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And it, folks, I'm going to tell you, it won't be that long. And the Lord will make himself known, and love will spread over this place like it never has before. Love is coming. And that's Advent. So next Saturday night, if you're here, or next Sunday, if you can come, even if you're not with us, you know what is next. That is the coming of the Christ child in a literal manifestation. Jesus was physically born of a virgin in a stable to Mary, to Joseph. He literally came. Christ came. Now, what do you think I'm going to tell you? You're getting the sermon ahead of time. What is going to happen next? Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is coming literally, and he will set up his kingdom. And I want to be part of it. I don't care what role I have. I just want to be in the picture with him and know that I'm part of his family and be known and be loved by him. You guys today, the Lord loves you so much. Be encouraged this week, all right? Let's take a little time, and I will go and play a little bit on the piano. And while we do that, would you just take a moment today, first and foremost, and just thank the Lord for his love.